Freight Brokers Course. Legal Disclaimer. Introduction. What is a freight broker? Freight brokers are used by the industry to arrange for the transportation required by the shipping company. They act as a link between the shipper and the carrier companies or individual drivers. Most who start in the freight brokerage business think that brokering is trucking. This is the number one common mistake that most new freight brokers make. A freight broker derives a commission for their matchmaking skills. Freight brokers are also known as truck brokers, transportation brokers, and property brokers. And the brokerage industry can span not only with trucks, but air, rail, train, and ocean liners. This course guide will deal only with the trucking industry in the 48 contiguous states using ground transportation by trucks. Freight brokers then search for business, looking for distributors, manufacturers, farmers, and shippers who use freight broker services to ship their cargo and products through trusted motor carriers. A freight broker's job is to approach them and try to identify their budget and delivery needs. Proving yourself as a trustworthy freight broker will create ongoing business with them. As a freight broker, all you have is your integrity to market yourself to your clients. A freight broker needs to use good negotiating skills to complete a competitive transaction whereby everyone is satisfied, shipper, carrier, and broker. This course comes with a database of over plus 150,000 transportation profiles for you to search for new clients. To facilitate this process, the freight broker should have a strong relationship with the motor carriers. The broker usually accepts the credit of a shipper and has, in turn, his credit accepted by the carrier. In other words, he collects from the shipper and pays the carrier, less his commission. Motor carriers can be the carrier company which run a large number of trucks by hiring truck drivers, or can be an independent truck driver known as an owner-operator running his own truck driving business. A freight broker works for the commission that he gets for efficiently matching the shipper's load with the right carrier, who will charge a fair price for delivery. Most brokers think they work for the shipper and want to lower the carrier's freight rates down. However, the broker must protect the interests of motor carrier owner-operator, in that he collects the money from the shipper on behalf of the motor carrier. Federal Motor Carrier Safety Administration FMCSA is the only governing body for freight brokers, which is an agency of the Department of Transportation. There are some requirements to be fulfilled before you start as a freight broker. However, there are no pre-qualifying tests or exams needed to set up the business. As a freight broker, it's necessary to analyze what are the aspirations of both the shipper and the carrier from their perspectives and try to find a common ground to make both parties happy. Brokers are unique to the transportation industry. They do not operate trucks or employ drivers but play a role in the shipment of a variety of commodities. Brokers engaged in interstate commerce are regulated by FMCSA and are subject to several federal statutes and regulations, in particular 49 CFR 371. Brokers are required to register with FMCSA, maintain process agents to accept legal service, and establish and maintain appropriate coverage for financial liability. Brokers also have administrative and financial recordkeeping requirements. Brokers are prohibited from misrepresenting themselves as motor carriers or as anything other than providers of brokerage services registered with FMCSA. In response to the Safe, Accountable, Flexible, Efficient Transportation Equity Act, a legacy for users' safety LOU, and a petition by the American Moving and Storage Association AMSA, the FMCSA amended 371 and other regulations. These amendments specify requirements for brokers of household goods, addressing consumer protection, financial liability coverage, and business practices. Additionally, in the future, FMCSA will assign U.S. Department of Transportation USDOT numbers, in addition to motor carrier MC numbers, to all brokers to better identify them. A broker regulated by the USDOT is defined at 49 U.S.C. 131,022. Broker. The term «broker» means a person, other than a motor carrier or an employee or agent of a motor carrier, that is a principal or agent sells, offers for sale, negotiates for, or holds itself out by solicitation, advertisement, or otherwise as selling, providing, or arranging for, transportation by a motor carrier for compensation. A broker is further defined in the federal regulation at 49 CFR 371.2A. Broker means a person who, for compensation, arranges, or offers to arrange, the transportation of property by an authorized motor carrier. Motor carriers, or persons who are employees or bona fide agents of carriers, are not brokers within the meaning of this section when they arrange or offer to arrange the transportation of shipments which they are authorized to transport and which they have accepted and legally bound themselves to transport. As a transportation broker, you will be connecting shippers who need to move their commodities with carriers that can transport them. Connecting the shippers and the carriers is arranging transportation. If you are compensated for the service, then you are brokering. If you arrange the interstate transportation, by a motor carrier, of a commodity for a shipper, then you are regulated by FMCSA and are required by federal statute, at 49 U South Carolina, 13904, to register with the US DOT. To be registered, FMCSA must grant you authority to operate as a broker. Registration also is referred to as authority, operating authority, or being authorized. All brokers regulated by FMCSA are required to use the services of authorized motor carriers. An authorized motor carrier has been granted authority to operate interstate and is validly registered by FMCSA. There are two classifications of regulated brokers, property or freight brokers and household goods brokers. Each classification requires a specific registration or authority. A property broker may arrange transportation of a variety of regulated commodities other than household goods. Property brokers may arrange transportation for commodities such as automobiles, electronics, or machinery. A household goods broker can arrange transportation for shipments of household goods only. Household goods regulated by FMCSA are defined at 49 CFR 375.103 as household goods, as used in connection with transportation, means personal effects, property used, or to be used, in a dwelling, when part of the equipment of the dwelling. Transportation of household goods must be arranged and paid for by the individual shipper or by another individual on behalf of the shipper. Household goods includes property moving from a factory or store if purchased with the intent to use in a dwelling, and transported at the request of the householder who also pays the transportation charges. Household goods brokers regulated by FMCSA are defined at 49 CFR 371.103 as, household goods broker means a person, other than a motor carrier or an employee or a bona fide agent of a motor carrier, that is a principal or agent sells, offers to sell, negotiates for, or holds itself out by solicitation, advertisement, or otherwise sells, provides, or arranges for, transportation of household goods by a motor carrier for compensation. As a broker, you may arrange transportation of all regulated commodities, property and household goods, provided that you obtain the appropriate authorities to arrange transportation for both. If you are a broker registered by FMCSA to arrange transportation for shipments of freight and you want to expand your business to include arranging transportation for shipments of household goods, then you must apply to FMCSA to obtain additional authority as a household goods broker. The same holds true if you are registered as a household goods broker and wish to expand your business to arrange transportation for regulated freight. You must apply to the FMCSA to obtain additional authority as a property broker. Difference between freight forwarder and freight broker. A freight forwarder is a person or entity that holds itself out to the general public as providing transportation of property for compensation and in the ordinary course of its business, assembles and consolidates, or provides for assembling and consolidating, shipments and performs or provides for break bulk and distribution operations of the shipments. assumes responsibility for the transportation from the place of receipt to the place of destination, and uses for any part of the transportation a rail, motor or water carrier subject to the jurisdiction of either FMCSA or the Surface Transportation Board. Freight forwarder. The term freight forwarder means a person holding themselves out to the general public other than as a pipeline, rail, motor, or water carrier, to provide transportation of property for compensation and in the ordinary course of its business and a. assembles and consolidates or provides for assembling and consolidating of shipments and performs or provides for break bulk and distribution operations of shipments, b. assumes responsibility for the transportation from the place of receipt to the place of destination, and c. uses for any part of the transportation a carrier subject to jurisdiction under this subtitle. The term does not include a person using transportation of an air carrier subject to Part O of Subtitle 749, U.S.C. Chapters 401-465 Air Commerce and Safety. Freight forwarders are required to have operating authority from FMCSA, if their businesses involve interstate commerce. What makes freight forwarders similar to motor carriers is that they may employ drivers and operate equipment as motor carriers to transport property. Freight forwarders are different from motor carriers in the way they handle the commodities they transport. A motor carrier transports a shipment from a specific point of origin to a specific destination. For example, a motor carrier is employed to transport a shipment or 1,000 pounds of paper from Wausau, Wisconsin, to Fort Wayne, Indiana. A motor carrier can handle multiple shipments, but each shipment has a specific origin and destination. When a shipment moves from point to point, the motor carrier's only role is to transport it. Freight forwarders may receive multiple shipments from multiple points of origin and combine those shipments into one shipment going to a single destination. Freight forwarders also may take a single shipment from a single point of origin and break it into multiple shipments going to single or multiple destinations. Freight forwarders also may employ motor carriers to accomplish that task. Freight forwarders, in addition to transporting property, offer other logistical services for shippers by coordinating the composition and movement of their shipments. As an example, a freight forwarder receives a shipment of 30,000 pounds of clothing from a factory in Greensboro, North Carolina. That shipment is separated by the freight forwarder into three 10,000-pound shipments to be transported to destinations in Illinois, New York, and California. After separating the shipments, the freight forwarder employs a motor carrier to transport one shipment from North Carolina to California. The shipment to California is transported under the authority of the freight forwarder. The Motor Carrier Act of 1980 deregulated the motor carrier industry. ICC restrictions on the entry of transport firms limited competition and kept prices high. During regulation, transport carriers were allowed to establish rates that would recover their total cost of transportation that included a reasonable return on invested equity. Deregulation was to introduce a greater degree of economic efficiency and competitiveness to the marketplace. Many new carriers interested into the trucking industry. In order to give the legal property broker name definition and to cover a larger group of licensed and unlicensed transportation facilitate or the Transportation Intermediaries Association was formed. TIA, a member organization, calls them generically 3PLs, third-party logistics. Companies. TIA defines 3PLs as facilitators that arrange for the efficient and economical movement of property and goods. This association has taken on the mantra of establishing the generally accepted professional standards and ethics for unlicensed and licensed property brokers. Under deregulation, the compensation is not defined and the intermediary has no dual agency responsibilities, therefore the amount of compensation for the services rendered is left up to the broker's ability to source, add value, arrange for, purchase, sell and negotiate the price for the transport of the freight transaction and provide the necessary contract paperwork for all parties to the freight transaction. Intermediaries have just three major costs: purchase transportation costs, personnel costs, and administrative costs. Since deregulation, property brokers have marketed and sold shippers on the concept that by their purchasing, facilitating and arranging for the freight transaction and then reselling the same freight transaction to the transport carrier ultimately ensures to guarantee the shipper the lowest freight price. That would be true if the shipper knew the gross margin before or after the freight transaction. Shippers do not review brokerage gross margins before the freight transaction nor ask to review the gross margins subsequently. Unless the shipper is a party to the transaction, under the law, asks the broker the gross margin on the freight transaction, the broker has no obligation to disclose up front. Conversely, unless asked, a freight broker has no obligation to disclose to the transport carrier what the shipper paid. Very few, if any, freight property brokers ever disclose such information to either party. Once a freight transaction is purchased by a freight broker, the broker is free to use whatever media, system, business acumen, negotiation skills or other means to make as much gross profit margins and correspondent compensation as possible. Thus, gross margins, compensation and profits have continued to increase since deregulation. Substantially, all of the advertising is targeted at the spot market. The spot market is that fertile ground where brokers can negotiate and maximize the largest gross margins. The spot markets are the spots the broker will find transport carriers with available load capacities. Freight brokers know where there are more transport carriers with equipment capacity than freight. They also know small carrier drivers get tired waiting at the spot for a load and are getting stressed to get back home to their family where generally a good paying load is waiting. Each year thousands of transport carriers go out of business hauling freight brokered out of spot markets. In many of these spots, brokerage margins can reach as high as 30%. Exclusive freight agent. When you start off as an agent to a freight broker, more than likely they will hire you as an exclusive agent, meaning they want you to work with them, and them alone. Rarely will you be able to work for two different brokers at the same time. This is more of a sales agent that sells freight to different broker agents like you. Take this time to learn the industry and find your niche as you prepare to start your own freight brokerage. Regardless if you are a broker or agent, both are at risk of losing customers to whom they do business with. Getting your license. The rules governing applications for operating authority are stated in Regulations 49 CFR 365 and 366. The process to obtain operating authority as a broker begins with FMCSA's application for motor property carrier and broker authority form Opus 1. Becoming a freight broker requires the applicant to submit 3 forms to the FMCSA. Form number 1, Opus 1 form. The first is Form Opus 1, and this is the application for broker authority. The Opus 1 form can be downloaded as a portable document format PDF file from FMCSA's website at http://www.fmsca.gov/forms/print/r-l-forms.htm. You also have the option to file your Opus 1 application online. You can apply online at http://www.fmcsa.gov/online-registration. This method is highly recommended. You can follow step-by-step instructions to assist you in completing the online Opus 1 form for the appropriate broker authorities. The Motor Carrier Authority application form is 4 pages long. Broker authority is a license granted by the Federal Motor Carrier Safety Administration, and it is required to operate as a freight broker within the United States. Applying for broker authority requires the applicant to submit his name, business contact information, and the legal name of his business as defined in his home state if he plans to operate his brokerage under a business name instead of his legal name DBA name. The filing option for broker of property should be selected when filling out the Opus 1 form. Once downloaded, the Opus 1 form allows you to input the required information directly on the form from your computer and then print it out. If you prefer, you can print out a blank form and input the information manually. If access to FMCSA website is not available to you, then you can request an Opus 1 form packet be sent to you by U.S. mail by contacting them at 800-832-5660. Once completed, you may submit the form via U.S. mail. The Opus 1 form comes with instructions to assist you completing and submitting the form. There is a $300 non-refundable filing fee for the Opus 1 form. Once Opus 1 is accepted, 4 to 6 weeks. First, you will receive a letter from FMCSA with your FMCSA number listed. You will receive a final authority letter a few weeks later. Operating authority. Depending on the type of authority that is granted, the FMCSA operating authority is also referred to as an MC, FF, or MX number. Unlike the US DOT number application process, a company may need to obtain multiple operating authorities to support its planned business operations. Operating authority dictates the type of operation a company may undertake, the cargo it may carry, and the geographical area in which it may legally operate. Costs for obtaining an operating authority? Separate filing fees must be submitted for each individual operating authority. The cost is $300. This is due at the time of processing for each authority sought. Definitions of common, contract, and broker authorities. Common carriers provide for hire truck transportation to the general public. Common carriers must be sure to file for cargo insurance and both liability buy and PD insurances. Contract carriers provide for hire truck transportation to specific, individual shippers, based on contracts. Contract carriers must file only liability buy and PD insurance. Brokers coordinate the transportation of cargo belonging to others, for this they are compensated, utilizing for hire carriers to provide the actual truck transportation. The broker must file a surety bond or trust fund agreement. Form number 2, BMC 84 or BMC 85 form. The second form is the BMC 84 or BMC 85, which is used to provide proof of a surety bond BMC 84, or trust fund BMC 85, for $10,000. A very important part of your application is proof of financial responsibility. As a broker, you must have adequate protection. Financial responsibility is protection of your business against liability. All are required to have either a surety bond or a trust fund as financial responsibility. Proof of financial responsibility is a condition to obtaining and maintaining operating authority. Without it, you will not be granted authority as a broker. Your bond must be maintained as a condition of your operating authority if, while conducting business as a broker, you decide to change bonding companies or the financial institution that holds your trust fund, then you must file a new BMC 84 or BMC 85 form with FMCSA showing that your business still has adequate financial responsibility. Remember, financial responsibility is a condition of your authority. If it is reported to FMCSA that you no longer have financial responsibility, then your broker authority will be revoked. As a broker, you submit a property broker's surety bond form BMC 84, as proof of a surety bond covering your business, or a property broker's trust fund agreement form BMC 85, as proof of a trust fund. There is no filing fee for either the BMC 84 or BMC 85 forms, as they are just legal requirement to provide proof of coverage. The bond amount you pay for your particular bond will depend on the type of bond and the financial institution that will provide the surety bond to your company. The surety bond or the trust fund ensures the financial responsibility of the broker by providing payments to shippers or motor car arrears if the broker fails to carry out their contracts, agreements, or arrangements for the supplying of transportation by authorized motor carriers. Financial responsibility is defined in the Regulation 49 CFR 387.5 as financial responsibility, the financial reserves, e.g., insurance policies or surety bonds, sufficient to satisfy liability amounts set forth in this subpart 49 CFR part 387, subpart A, covering public liability. Beginning October 1, 2013, a broker will need to obtain and file with FMCSA a surety bond or trust fund agreement in the amount of $75,000 to comply with FMCSA's financial security requirements. Termination by replacement. Broker surety bonds or trust fund agreements which have been accepted by the FMCSA under these rules may be replaced by other surety bonds or trust fund agreements. The liability of the retiring surety or trustee under such surety bond or trust fund agreements shall be considered as having terminated as of the effective date of the replacement surety bond or trust fund agreement. However, such termination shall not affect the liability of the surety or the trustee hereunder for the payment of any damages arising as the result of contracts, agreements, or arrangements made by the broker for the supplying of transportation prior to the date such termination becomes effective. Cancellation notice. The surety bond and the trust fund agreement may be cancelled only upon 30 days written notice to the FMCSA. This must be completed on prescribed form BMC 36, by the principal or surety for the surety bond, and on prescribed form BMC 85, by the trust or broker or trustee for the trust fund agreement. The notice period commences upon the actual receipt of the notice at the FMCSA's, Washington, D.C. office. Links to surety bond partner providers. Form number 3, BOC 3 form. Another important part of your application for broker authority is the form BOC3, designation of agent for service of process, often referred to as a process agent. A process agent is an individual who will accept legal process on your behalf and forward it to you for response. Brokers are required to designate a process agent for each state where they have offices or write contracts, as stated in 49 CFR 366.4b. The last form is the BOC3, which is used to register process agents. There is space on the form to enter the contact information for all process agents from every state if needed. There is a $50 filing fee for the BOC3 form. Appendix B at the end of the course has a list of processing agents to choose from. If you have not fulfilled all the broker requirements within 20 days of filing your Opus 1 application, the FMCSA will issue you a notice that you have 60 days from the date of the notice in which to meet all the requirements or your application will be dismissed. Which means you have to complete both the BOC3 and BMC 84 forms to be an active broker. Website link http://www.fmcsa.gov/registration-licensing/licensing/agents.htm. You are ready to apply for broker authority when you have completed the Opus 1 form, BMC 84 or 85 form, and BOC 3 form. Be sure to check the forms for accuracy before you submit them. Errors and omissions can delay the processing of your application, ultimately delaying the granting of your authority. The FMCSA review of broker applications. After your application for broker authority has been submitted, it will be reviewed by FMCSA staff. The federal regulation at 49 CFR 365.109 requires that FMCSA staff review your application for correctness, completeness, and adequacy of the evidence that you, as a broker, have the required amount of financial responsibility and are fit, willing, and able to comply with all applicable statutes and regulations. Minor errors found on your application may be corrected while going through the review process, however, incomplete applications will be rejected. Rejection of your application will delay the issuance of your operating authority. It is imperative that, before you file your application, you check the form and ensure that all the information is accurate, and that the form is complete. Closely follow the instructions that come with the Opus 1 form, or as you submit the Opus 1 form online. Applicants for household goods broker authority have to go through an additional step in the review process. To better protect consumers from deceptive business practices in the industry, applicants for household goods broker authority undergo vetting. Information submitted by the applicant is closely examined, and in many cases verified to ensure that the applicant has not evaded accountability for non-compliance with federal regulations by using the name of another company. Vetting can take up to 10 weeks. If you are applying for authority as a household goods broker, it is very important that you ensure that your application is accurate, including avoiding any omissions on the application. The discovery of omitted information during vetting could result in rejection of the application. If the FMCSA review of your application finds it acceptable, then a notice of the application will be posted in the FMCSA register. If you have not done so during the application process, you must submit a Form BMC 84, evidence that your brokerage is covered by a surety bond of $10,000 or $25,000, depending on type of brokerage, property or household goods. A Form BMC 85 is the required evidence that your brokerage is covered by a trust fund of $10,000 or $25,000 before authority may be granted. After a summary of your application for authority is posted in the FMCSA register, any person who opposes the approval of your application, on the grounds that you are not fit, willing, and able to comply with FMCSA's regulations, has 10 days from the date of publication in the FMCSA register to file a protest. If no one opposes the application, then a certificate will be issued making it effective. UCR Registration, Unified Carrier Registration System. The UCR agreement applies to the following types of operations of passenger and property in interstate commerce: motor carrier, motor private carrier, freight forwarder, broker, and liaison company. Unified Carrier Registration is a state permit required for most interstate carriers and brokers. If you have a USDOT, MC, or FF number, you will likely also need the UCR to be in compliance at the state level. Attached in Appendix C is the UCR 2013 application. This can also be downloaded at https://www.ucr.in.gov/. The fees are determined by fleet size with brokers and freight forwarders on the minimum fee bracket. Fleet size is determined by the number of commercial vehicles listed on your USDOT number or by the total number of commercial vehicles operated. Leasing companies not a motor carrier, brokers and freight forwarders who do not operate any commercial motor vehicle CLEs, shall be charged a UCR fee at the lowest bracket level for the registration year. 0 to 2 bracket equals $150. This fee may vary depending on the state you register in. All registrants are required to submit an annual filing of information required within the UCR agreement. End of File 1.